Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. One of the most common patterns that I noticed in my marriage for the 12 years of radical dysfunction that I experienced along with my queen, and now paying attention to tons of guys from all around the globe, there's a common pattern, which is, let's simplify it as good boy, good boy, good boy, bad boy. Good boy, good boy, good boy, bad boy. Good boy, bad boy. Good boy, good boy, bad boy. You get it. We try to have these periods where, you know, the ship is settled. The waters are calm. We do whatever is necessary to bring harmony. But then the bad shit comes out. And any trust that we've built in the good boy phase is lost. And thus, we find ourselves at the bottom of the mountain again. It's like climbing a mountain. You get to halfway to the top, but every time you intermittently shift into bad boy mode, you slide the whole way back down to the bottom, and it gets exceptionally frustrating, and it can feel hopeless, and there's this feeling of same shit, different day, and it's like, why? How can I ever break out from this? In this episode, I'm going to speak to this, the importance of a leadership principle to help you break out of this pattern. I'm leaning in on inspiration from ex-Navy SEAL Commander Jocko Willink. And I'm speaking to the leadership principle that he himself says that there's few leadership principles that are as solid as high ground. High ground is a term from within the battlefield. High ground literally refers to accessing the highest terrain available with a view of as much, if not the entire battlefield. As most marriages can feel like a battlefield at times, I'm going to say, guys, Jocko is a really good guy to seek advice from. I really challenge you into, in this conversation, to take upon the identity of you being a leader. I repeat again and again throughout this whole movement through the podcast. You know, I say at the beginning of every episode, heroic husbands, kingly brothers. It's leadership as a principle is woven within the tapestry of this entire movement. So you might not identify as being a leader. Most of this profoundly sick society says your only leadership of any value is providing, is producing in the factory, in the workplace, you know, so that you can produce results for somebody else, produce cash that provides. There's so much more to your potentiality. The movement here in Be the Husband She Brags About, and within Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, it's really to create the most influential leaders on the planet. That is you. But you've got to take upon yourself, you know, and start identifying that you are a leader. Breaking it down, what Jocko is speaking to in high ground, there are three core benefits from his perspective. And I would say that this perspective, you know, it's available to you within your family, within your life, within conflict, within the chaos which is and can be married life with kids, with responsibilities, with, you know, a fuck ton of immense chores and responsibilities and boxes to tick to be the best man that you can be, the best father, the best husband, to be the best, you know, neighbor, to be the best son, to be the best worker. That's an immense challenge. The first part that Jocko really speaks to is the benefit of high ground is I'm in a visual place away from the action where I can see more. he underlines, like, it's the definition of detachment. You know, his reflection is, you know, how can I direct a battle when I can only see 100 yards and that's it? Whereas high ground, it's a 10-minute walk, arguably. A 10-minute walk up a hill and you can see the entire battlefield. You see it all. It has immense value from a leadership perspective to take it upon yourself and create high ground. You know, how many times has talking and taking action from heart closure created connection and calm? Heart closure is sort of like the battlefield mode. In marriage, heart closure is when the chips are down, you know, you're tensing up, there's conflict, your inner attitude, your thinking, your nervous system, it's right versus wrong, your queen isn't right versus wrong. It's like you're in this rational argument, and rationality drives this connection, but we stick with it and we're battle, you're grounding in, but it's like you're in the fog of war. You're on that battlefield. There's ammo, there's fire, there's smoke coming from the gunpowder, whatever. It's like it's noisy and there's just no chaos. There's no calm. There's no clarity. There's no confidence of knowing, okay, well, this is what is necessary in this moment. And it just gets same shit different day. It's like you end up having those cookie cutter style, you know, you're on a roundabout, it's the same experience again and again. You can go through, touch base with yourself, you can go through conflicts, your history of conflicts together, and by and large, they have the same feel, they have the same signature to them. You say that, she says that, she reacts like that, you react like that, blah, 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 and then they end up with you stonewalling, she stonewalls, you go quiet, and again, it's like, good boy, good boy, good boy, but the shit comes out because it's same shit, different day. The way to turn this around is to bring in the idea of high ground in that moment. You know, the answer is, you know, how many times is talking and taking action from heart closure created connection and calm? Never. Never in the history of, you know, husbands coming with wives has a man ever spoken from heart closure or acted from heart closure and his wife went, oh, take me now, you know, take me to the bedroom. You know, here's entry to my sacred garden. Never before has a queen went, oh, I trust you so much. You know, when a guy speaks or acts from heart closure, it just doesn't happen. So high ground is essential. What that looks like, to get into a visual place that's away from the action where you can see more, and that high ground idea is like, you know, you take a step back from the conflict. Literally, sometimes that's literally like taking a step away. You could, if it gets really intense, take a step outside. Hey, baby, I need some time out here. It's not safe. It's not useful at all what's coming through my nervous system. I just need to take a step outside, go for a walk, do a few stretches, bit of breath work, meditate, whatever the fuck. And I'll only come back in when I'm feeling more grounded. You're getting to the high ground. You might just take access to high ground by taking a step back. It's like if you found that your body language, if posturally together, you know, you're in fight mode, you might be leaning in with the chin tucked down, sort of like, and the hands are up. You might take a step back to signify it's like a calming of your energy. Take a step back, drop your hands, calm, palms down on your laps, and just lift your head, chin up ever so slightly. It just gives a sort of like, okay, you're disengaging the aggressive posture. Breathe deeply and slowly. Detachment from your emotional state gives you kingly creative power in moments of conflict. Detachment from your thinking story gives you kingly creative power in moments of conflict. When you see the battle from a different perspective, it gives you kingly creative power. This is the power of moving to high ground in moments of conflict with your queen. Number two, what Jocko is pointing to is the high ground on the battlefield is something you do not want to give up. By his teachings within a military commander perspective, you know, the high ground gives you such a good advantage. If you give it up, you give it up at your peril. You got to know this as a leader. What this means, what the high ground means in marriage, is when you're in that mental and emotional high ground state, you're emotionally detached, you're seeing the conflict from the outside, you're seeing the whole lay of the battlefield, you're not stuck in the fog of war with your queen, where there's trauma, where there's wounds, her wounds, your wounds, the massive emotional charge. When you get detached from there and you can see things with greater clarity, you can see the pattern, you can see, oh wow, this is the same shit, different day pattern. You can see and feel into the insanity of, you know, doing the exact same thing, saying the exact same things and reacting the exact same way, etc., etc., and pretending that you're going to get a better result. When you've taken a step back and you're more calm, you're grounded, you're seeing the entire story, the tapestry, you're tapping into, she's having a lived reality, I'm having a lived reality, hold on here a second, let's not make this personal, let's get objective here, what's really going on, what needs to happen. When you're in that state, you are very trustworthy. Now, what happens very often, and in this movement, we call it boy bitch energy. Boy bitch energy likes getting irrationally tempestuous, like immature. It likes going a little rant, feeling sorry for himself. Do you ever find yourself where, you know, you're doing a good game, you're being conscious, you're practicing being present, but then this force comes from deep inside of you and goes, enough is a fuck enough. I've taken enough of her shit, enough. I'm just going to give her a taste of her own medicine, because you're in total righteous mode. Right versus wrong. You're making her wrong. You're making yourself right. And it's like, I've had enough of this. This 10 years of this shit that I'm taking. It's like the last 2 weeks we're on a roundabout in the same conversation. Enough. It's boy bitch energy. Now, the price that you've got to pay, as Jocko says, if you give up high ground, you give it up at your own peril, because you probably have done a lot of work to gain trust. You've gained ground. You're halfway up the mountain. It takes a lot of energy. But if you go with that momentary, tempestuous boy bitch energy that just goes, I'm going to give her, like, I've enough of this, like, my tank is full of this crap, and you just go, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger and start blaming her verbally. I'm going to just, you know, storm out of here. I'm just going to stonewall. You know, she's causing me pain. I'll show her. I'll cause her pain type stuff. That really fucks up trust, and it makes your recovery 2-3 times more hard, 10 times more hard. If some of you guys are really knocking on the door of, like, potential separation, divorce, man, you really don't want to play with this energy. No man, no matter what your perceived risk of divorce, separation, no man in marriage, you really want to stop this habit of playing, allowing boy bitch energy to take over. Because when you're boy bitch energy, when you go into boy bitch energy and you lose the high ground, you lose the masculine pole. And if you stay there, You're forcing your queen to detach from her emotions. If harmony is brought back by your queen, you know, boy bitch energy is sort of like sucking its thumb in the corner going, mommy, you know, somebody should save me. I'm a victim here. If your queen comes back, and if she's the one, and they will rarely do it, but if if they have standards at all, they won't say sorry. But if for the sake of peace, if for the sake of, like, your boy bitch energy is bringing so much tension, they just, like, the next morning, the morning after, or, like, after, you know, you both go your separate ways, and after work, when you reconvene together in the kitchen in the family home, if they just for the sake of peace come back to it, you're forcing her to detach from her emotions and get into rational masculine pole. She's actually taking the masculine pole in the relationship. And she's now leading a resentful 5-year-old, which is going to take you ages to repair the distrust that you've caused, because she's not allowed, you're not allowing her, because you lose high ground. High ground is masculine practice. The masculine practice in relationship, masculine, feminine, sexual attraction, polarity, and leadership, the masculine pole is embodied consciousness, its presence. In essence, using Jocko Willing's terminology, it's embodying the high ground. When you drop out of the high ground practice, you're forcing her into that mode. And it's so fucking repulsive. It's distrustful. It's unsafe. And she will resent you for it. And so she should. Because you're dropping your guard. And when you drop from the high ground on the battlefield, as Willing says, give it up at your peril. Because you're going to slide your ass back down to the base of the mountain, down the scree slopes, and boy, you're going to just have to, like, buckle up, grazes on your knees, bruises on your hands, you know, just dehydrated, not, it doesn't matter, you have to go walking back up the mountain. This is if you want to become your the marriage transforming hero of your relationship, you got to do this. Number 3, what Jocko Willing points to is about high ground. You got to get clear inside of yourself with things I'm not going to give up on. When you're in high ground, your embodied consciousness, you're there. There's a moment of challenge. There's emotional, psychological conflict between yourself and your queen. There's a momentary disagreement or a long-standing disagreement of opinions. There's financial stresses. The shit has hit the fan, whatever. There's quite a bit of pressure there. What's key in these moments is to know what your non-negotiables are and to be ready to calmly assert what your non-negotiable needs are, what your non-negotiable values are in that moment. That is high ground. This is where the vast majority of men buckle under pressure. Oh, for the sake of peace, you know, I'll just shut the fuck up. For the sake of peace, a lot of guys report saying sorry. They're not really saying sorry. They haven't felt into the hurt that they've created for their queen. They're saying sorry from a perspective of, I'll say sorry, but then there's a resentment when she doesn't say sorry back. It's like this passive aggressive saying sorry. Touch base with yourself. Most guys that I speak with, their hands go up. There's a wry laugh, or the guys just burst their arse laughing. And I'm putting my hand up. I did this for years. It just didn't work. Really didn't work. It's a real Mr. Nice Guy unwitting habit where we, because of trauma in our childhood, because our anger, and anger is the emotion that sets a boundary, that says, hey, you're overstepping into my space here. I have a truth here. I have a desire. I have a need. I have a value that is me, is really me. This is my authentic truth. Mom, you will see that with your mother. In your relationship with your mother, your stepmother, the divine feminine that was represented, embodied in the human form, whoever that person was, and in early days in school and formative years, it's like predominantly where we were in the presence of female teachers. And this is not to say that it's on women, that it's wrong, but it's just an inherent part of that dynamic. We ended up, because our anger wasn't respected or honored, we were shamed out of our anger. Thus, we didn't know how to stand up for our truth, how to stand up for what our non-negotiable needs are. And we were explicitly shamed in that. Oh, don't get angry with me, Mark. Don't get angry with me, you know, from the teacher. Anger is wrong. You know, even put in detention. You're told you're bold from school. You get reports home, you know, like he's grounded. He's on detention. He got angry. parents will send us off up to your room. You know, don't get angry with your mother. You know, how dare you say that? You were trying to find your ways of speak from your emotional guidance. If something was off for you and you, nobody taught you, your mom, your dad, they didn't teach you how to own that. Now, what ends up happening is our non-negotiable desires and needs, our truth inside of ourselves, they get into this murky, foggy, shitty mix with the emotional charge of guilt or anxiety or shame. You know, it's like when we feel anger, we've been conditioned that many times, thousands of times, thousands upon thousands of mini moments to major moments. We get conditioned that, oh God, if I feel anger, whatever's coming through me, there's a feeling of anxiety for the backlash we're going to get from our queen. That comes from childhood conditioning. There's a backlash of we're going to be shamed. That comes up when you're about to speak your non-negotiables with your queen. A backlash like a feeling of guilt. God, I'll speak my truth. I'll honor my anger and I'll speak what's true for me. But if it makes her feel bad, I'm going to feel bad because my mom cried when I got angry. My mom got really upset with me. I feel guilty because I have caused her to feel uncomfortable in this moment. What I'd say with you on this, guys, in support of holding high ground in your relationships, an essential distinction for you to overcome your nice guy persona patterns in your nervous system is safe does not necessarily mean comfortable. Definitely holding the high ground. Don't slip into aggression. Don't slip into attacking your queen. Don't slip into, you know, if she's going through an emotionally intense moment and whatever her language, allow her have her human experience. But practice calmly, with calm assertiveness, stating what your non-negotiables are. You know, when I'm in conflict, I have learned over the last number of years, and there's a deepening awareness. There's more and more awareness coming through me. This isn't like I journaled on it last night and I now know what my non-negotiables are. Some of my non-negotiables are respectful communication with each other and with the girls. I will asterisk this with intensity is allowed. Very often guys that come to men's work, it's like, oh, disrespectful communication. They sort of mean that it's a blanket ban on intense communication. Some of my communications, you know, between myself, my queen, the girls, I mean, it gets intense. There's a lot of intensity allowed. There is a lot. We hold space as much as we can for intensity, passion. There can be anger there, frustration, whatever is the charge is there. But as much as possible, keep it respectful. Own your shit. We don't say attacking, insulting stuff. Say it with intensity, yeah, but attacking, disrespectful communication, hey, that's a non-negotiable for me. As much as possible. Another non-negotiable for me is my right to have an unapologetic human experience. I didn't feel that I was allowed to have an unapologetic human experience growing up, and by extension, every single man I've spoken to in Heroic Husbands men's circles, in one-on-one work, and in years of men's circles outside of this movement in the last 5 years, no man has had a perfect, unapologetic human experience supported and held space for when he grew up. So I'm reasserting in a calm, direct manner my right to have that. Now that extends to my queen and my kids. It's a non-negotiable. So if I see my queen interacting with my kids and, hey, she's had a tough day, the girls, whatever, has triggered her, but if she's playing the sort of, hey, like she supports me in as well, but like if she's playing the sort of like, I'm your mother, I'm sort of the dominant one, it's like, okay, right, and she just tries to control the girls because she has a stronger, deeper voice, she's taller, etc., etc. I'm like, hey, hold on, the girls are having a human experience. You're having a human experience. That's okay, baby. They're having a human experience. We've got to get respect that there's two human experiences, and you've got to touch base with the girls' human experience. Girls, you touch base with your mother's human experience. And from there, you're going to find that, and invariably, once I lock in with that, within a few minutes, because I'm remaining in high ground, I have my non-negotiable. The human experience is honored, both sides. Another part of a calmly asserted non-negotiable for me is ownership and energetic relating with the opposite sex. Being both heterosexual, my queen, myself, it's been a non-negotiable for me. My queen, long-standing, there was this thing I projected onto her, judgments of jealousy, etc., etc. But I've come to own my own emotional guidance when she's relating with other men. And I had noticed for years, it's like, and you technically, it's probably father issues. It's like daughter, father, that's where they'll have their main masculine, feminine issues will show up, and son, mother will show up. So I had an awareness of it, but I pretended nice guy. It's like, oh, but it's okay. It's okay. And I was denying my energetic, emotional guidance in situations and interpretations of how she was dealing with other guys. And she was putting fire on me and how I was relating from a nice guy. My own dealt, pleasing the feminine pathways. I was very untrustworthy with women. So this is a non-negotiable. Hey, you've got to own how you're energetically relating with that guy now. And by extension, it's a non-negotiable. So I've got to own how I'm relating with other women and make sure that if my queen gives me feedback, I'm open. And not only do I not just wait for her feedback, I'm actively consciously reflecting within myself when I'm in an environment with a woman. A focus on connection. This is a non-negotiable for me. It's like, you know, a plane coming into landing. I've said that metaphor before. How does like a pilot bring a plane that's out in stormy weather into landing? He, or obviously she, incessantly focuses on the runway. And the visual focus on the runway is what lines them up, relines them up. The winds, the rains, it doesn't matter. Everything behaviorally gets lined up once they keep a visual on the runway. That's a non-negotiable for me. So that could be like a full episode in and of itself, knowing your non-negotiables, but that's the third part in holding the high ground in conflict, in moments of intensity, and over the whole course of your marriage, deepening into your embodied leadership. The third one, things I'm not going to give up on, knowing and calmly asserting your non-negotiables. Let's do a quick recap here. The benefits, as Jocko Willink, with his immense experiential know-how, coming back from the Second Gulf War as the most decorated battalion that was out there. Absolute phenomenal military commander and his leadership. I've spoken before about his book, Extreme Ownership. I wholeheartedly recommend that book. So the three benefits of the high ground. Remembering, in the battlefield, high ground literally refers to accessing the highest terrain available with a view of the entire battlefield. What that means in marriage is taking a step back. Number one, when I'm in a visual place away from the action where I can see more, that's the massive benefit of the high ground. It's the definition of detachment. It's taking a step back in those moments, maybe a literal step back, like dissolve the aggression in your posture as you step back so that when you re-engage, you're more calm and assertive. You're in high ground inner mode. Might be taking a step away for a few minutes so you can bring more calm, access high ground within yourself, deepen your state of consciousness where you detach from the emotional charge. You name it to tame it. It's like, hey, I have a charge of frustration. Hey, I have a charge of jealousy. Hey, I have a charge of anger. That's the charge, but I can detach from it. I name it and I put it on the shelf. You detach from your story. A lot of blame, a lot of shame. Okay, that's not going to support. You reach the high ground. You get objective and you detach from the story that's charging through, trying to take over your tongue and spit vitriol towards your queen. Not going to fucking work. You get to the high ground. And from the high ground, You might breathe deep. You start seeing the entirety of the situation. You start seeing that there's two human experiences that you've got to honor, your human experience and your queen's human experience. Number two, the high ground on the battlefield is something you don't want to give up on. When you're halfway up a mountain, losing the high ground, it has you sliding your ass back down to the bottom, where you're going to be more tired, more jarred, more feeling defeated than you were before going back up. Once you get to the high ground, you want to keep that. Give it up at your own peril. Number three, be clear when you're on the high ground of things that you're not going to give up on, your non-negotiables. Don't go to boy bitch energy that will just give up on non-negotiables, will drop into bullshit experiences, will not speak his truth, and then go out the far side of a conversation, conflict, and self-sedate himself on, you know, addiction to work and porn addiction and drinking a couple of beers and bitching with the guys and, you know, mentally ruminating in his head, you know, bitching about his wife, oh, fuck her, blah, 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 because you can do it. You can be a cowardice and do it in the privacy of your own mind. And I called cowardice on myself for years. I was doing that. My boy bitch energy would not speak to my truth, would hide away from having to practice the courage to hold the high ground. And I would just mentally jack off inside my head, sort of pretending I was big and powerful as I assassinated my queen from the inside. These are three potent tools, guys. Potent leadership perspectives, the entire perspective, you know, of high ground as spoken through Jocko Willink's breakdown of those three benefits. This really supports you within this movement of the language we use here is be the mountain in the storm. That's the masculine pole. Mountain in the storm, high ground, literally get to the peak of that mountain and from there. This puts you into prime leadership position. You are, you know, the captain of the ship. Where that ship goes when you're in high ground, you can ride out whatever waves are coming at you. Remain grounded, remain detached, remain with an entire perspective, bird's eye view of the whole battlefield, the whole sea, the whole situation. From there, you will guide yourself, your queen, your kids if you have them, to happily ever after. You deserve it, your queen deserves it, your kids and the next seven generations after you certainly deserve it. You are that powerful, guys, but you've got to start showing up. Find a high ground in every single situation, align yourself around it, and just do not give it up. It's your most powerful position as a man, as a husband, as a lover, as a father, as a human being. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day. Hey, kingly brothers. Don't miss the next intake into Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Stop lone wolfing, guys. It does not work. End needless struggle and years of painful guesswork. Apply now to join Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. Click the link in the podcast description and become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship today. Don't miss the boat. Book your call now.